This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. I'm Dave Fallon, along with Providence Business News editor Mark Murphy. Hello, Mark.
Hi there, Dave.
It's the high end of the Rhode Island real estate market we're talking about. It's healthier. 176 homes sold for more than $1 million in the state in 2014. That's according to numbers from the Rhode Island Association of Realtors. Our guest is real estate veteran Sally Lapides, President and CEO of Residential Properties Limited of Providence. Sally, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Now, a little definition, first of all, what is high-end real estate? Is it over $1 million?
I think in Rhode Island, everybody considers $1 million and over is the highest end of the market.
And what's driving the sales?
A better economy. I think job security, low interest rates, and I believe that people are feeling really good in Rhode Island about our new leadership.
So are out-of-staters driving these high-end house sales or locals, or is it a mix?
I think it is a mix, and I think that the high-end needs to be divided between those people who are buying single-family homes for themselves and those people who are buying second or third homes on the water, because our highest end generally is the second or third-time home buyer who is their second or third house.
And what do you think the mix is there, sort of percentage-wise?
Well, it depends on the price point. So I would say from $1 to $3 million, those are mostly single-family, first and only home buyer.
Right, right. It's their prime residence.
It's their prime residence. Right. And then I think that when you are heading over $3 million, so $3 million to $8 million or $10 million or 15
yeah,
million.
12 was last 2014.
That's
was the
right.
Top, was
that's
the top
right.
Sale.
And I think that when you're in that price point, you're looking at a luxury second home for somebody.
In the process of selling a high end home, is there the normal bidding process that you get in selling, well, a regular home?
Well, there is the normal bidding process, but and generally you are not having multiple bids. In the lower ranges, there is so much competition because there are so few houses on the market right now that you often have multiple bids. You don't generally see them in the very highest end, but the bidding process is exactly the same.
So it's not like a person who's doing very well just comes in and will pay anything.
Oh, no. Oh, no. You know, the reason why they have so much money is because they haven't just paid anything for everything. So I think that what has happened with the recession is that even the wealthiest people are rethinking, do I need it? They've just gotten to that point of, do I want it again? And that took a long time to get, do I want it again?
Yeah, the numbers really, you know, and I think it was 09, 10, 11, and 12 were kind of low, and it's only the last 3 years that it really started to recover.
Right. And that is true across the board. So that it doesn't matter if you're in the $800,000 price range or the $8 million price range. People got used to not wanting to be showy. And it's interesting. It's really interesting in terms of the architecture. People got accustomed to not wanting to be all glitzy. They didn't want to show off in a lousy market and in a tough economy. People are sensitive to those people who are having trouble. And so during the recession, when we had our highest price houses on the market, those that had were marbled from floor to ceiling all over the place were less attractive to people than shingle style homes.
Does the high end real estate market stand separate from the rest of the local real estate market?
Yes, it does. It is a different buyer. It is a different motivation. It is much more about want than need. And they can look for a long time, or they can be exceedingly impulsive and say, we could live anywhere as long as the view is beautiful and it's commutable. One of the reasons why Rhode Island is so popular these days, and has always been, is because it's drivable from New York, and you can take the train and get off in Watch Hill. And so it's become much easier than having to take a flight to Nantucket or a flight to Martha's Vineyard or go to the Cape.
This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. Our guest is real estate veteran Sally Lapides, President and CEO of Residential Properties Limited of Providence.
We did a story this week on these, the high end, and it was interesting that Musquamacut apparently is seeing a lot more activity, and a lot of it is the teardown kind of activity, right? You buy a lot, then you actually build the house.
So. We used to call that the Hamptonization of Rhode Island, and it really is true. You know, we see it in Florida all the time. We see it in the Hamptons. This is sort of a new phenomenon in Rhode Island in the last 3 or 4 years, where people will find the right spot and say, it's okay to pay $3 million for this house. We're going to raise it, and we're going to build our own dream house. And so they'll pay the money for the land that we have never seen before.
And that is outside money. That's not Rhode Island
money. That
is
outside money.
Yeah.
What does that do to local real estate prices?
It's the rising tide floats all the boats. It brings up everybody's value when the housing stock goes up.
I'm listening to the buildup in Musquamacut, which had its problems with Hurricane Sandy.
Sure.
What are the effects that you have seen of flood insurance requirements on the shoreline real estate?
Well, it hit us very hard at the beginning, and it was hard for a realtor to explain this additional expense and this additional risk, even though everybody knew the devastation that Sandy had. But it has affected the areas that are less expensive than more expensive. So people with money will say, it's okay for me to spend this kind of money on insurance, or I'll self-insure. But it's the people who have the $500,000 house that have to have flood insurance that could go up to $25,000 a year that is prohibitive, because it also means that the person who's buying their house doesn't qualify with the bank. It's just too high in expense. So it's been it has been problematic, although, like everything else, people get used to the bad news and are dealing with it.
So you think that that piece of the market is kind of recovering to, you know, its activity levels?
I do.
In the time we have left, talk a little bit about the potential change in relationships between realtors and buyers. You know, what one has to do as a realtor now versus 15, 20 years ago.
Well, 15, 20 years ago, a realtor would take a buyer in a car with an old-fashioned multiple listing system book in their lap, and they would drive and see 30 houses. Today, with the internet and with professional photographs and video, most buyers are as well educated as a seller is in what the inventory on the market is. So that they'll eliminate 20 of those houses that we used to have to take them to and say, these are the five that I want to see. So in many respects, the internet has been incredibly helpful for the broker.
At the same time, is that sort of taking the broker out of the equation? Does that allow self-selling?
No, you still need a broker to help you analyze the property, figure out what the value is, and show you other comparable pieces of real estate. But it does help the broker develop a better relationship with the buyer, because the buyer comes in so very well schooled in what's on the market.
We are out of time. We'll have to leave that discussion right there. Thanks to Realtor Sally Lapides, President and CEO of Residential Properties Limited of Providence, our guest this week.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks, as usual, to Mark Murphy of Providence Business News.
Great, as always, to be here, Dave.
I'm Dave Fallon. This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio, Rhode Island's NPR.
Major funding for The Bottom Line is provided by the Rhode Island Foundation, using philanthropy to move Rhode Island forward.